different today just for a little bit. I don't have a title. I don't have an outline. I don't have points.
That's never stopped you before.
I know it. What I'm going to do, and I would like for you to look and follow, is I'm just going to read down through this passage of Scripture and say a little bit about it. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. If I were to title this message, it would probably be something like two Pharisees / two church members, a sinner, and a savior. Let me give you just one statement about this before we start. This passage of Scripture is not about the woman. This passage of Scripture is about Simon. Totally about Simon. As we walk through it, keep that in mind. Verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And so he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. I would love for you to get in this room. I don't know how to get you there, but I would love for you to get in the room where they are. Here is Simon the Pharisee, who has invited Jesus to dinner. And when he comes into the house, different than ours, you come to my house and you'll sit in a chair and at the table, and we'll put food on the table and you eat what you want. There the table was at least low, and they sat basically on the floor with their feet sort of out behind them. And that's where Jesus is, reclined at the table with the table in front of them. When we go to Korea, Judy and I have ate at Pastor Juan's brother-in-law's house two or three times. And they eat not at the kitchen table, and they have one. They eat not at the kitchen table where I can sit in a chair and eat something off the table. They go into the living area at the coffee table, what we would call the coffee table, and they fill it with food, and it's huge. And then you sit on the floor and try to get your feet under the table or try to get comfortable trying to eat around that table. And bringing food to your mouth usually winds up somewhere other than your mouth. So it's hard to eat in this situation. Will you get in that picture? That's where Jesus is. Verse 37. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. There was probably actually several of them, but he's going to talk about one. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. How did she learn that? I don't know. Was it a small city and everybody knew what everybody else was doing? I don't know. Was it a city that everybody followed Jesus and they knew exactly where he was all the time? I don't know the answer to that. All I know is somehow she learned that Jesus was reclining at the table in Simon's house, and Scripture points out that she is a sinner, or was a sinner. And when she learned that, she came to Simon's house, uninvited, interrupting, came in where Simon didn't want her to come. And she came in and brought an alabaster vial of perfume. Verse 38. And standing behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. I would love to get you in that room. I would like for you to see that scene. Because Simon, the church member, Simon, the good guy, had invited Jesus to come and dine with him. And this woman from the city intruded into their dinner, stood behind Jesus, weeping. And her tears were falling off her face, running on his feet, and she took the hair of her head and wiped the tears from his feet. When I thought of this, I thought about having someone demonstrate this. I couldn't think of anyone that would want to do that. So I decided to skip that part. This woman comes in behind Jesus, weeping, wetting his feet with her tears, and drying them with the locks of her hair. Do you understand what that takes? And then she anointed them with a perfume. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, I don't know if he thought it in his mind, or I don't know if he talked to himself like some of us do. You know, sometimes you say, you idiot. Sometimes you say different things to yourself. I don't know if he was saying sort of out loud. Listen to what he said. If this man were a prophet, if this man, Jesus, were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him. That she is a sinner. Do you hear the judgment of her by this sinless man? Do you hear the judgment of her by this sinless man? This man who looks at this woman as beneath him. This church member who looks at this woman as less than he is. This man who, of course, has never sinned, at least like she has, says if Jesus really knew who she was, that she is a sinner, he would not allow her to touch him. How bold can I get with that? Most of us, if not all of us, would think of that person who is on drugs, who is an alcoholic, who is someone caught up in some sin, and who doesn't come to church like we do, as beneath us. We're good. We come to church every Sunday. We're religious. That's the sound of this Pharisee. I'd be willing to bet you that he never thought that with one twitch of any event in his life, this could have been him and not her. Jesus gave another story one time in Luke 18. Luke records it that two men went down to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a sinner. And the Pharisee stood beating upon his chest, or stood praying to God and said, "I'm glad I'm not like other people. I tithe twice a week, or I give a tithe of everything I have. I fast twice a week. I'm a good religious guy." And he said the sinner would not even lift his head. He just beat upon his chest and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the story said, this one went down to his house justified. The other hadn't sinned in his own eyes. How easy it is to get caught up in being religious and not see who we are and not see our sin. It's easy for me to see someone else's. It's harder for me to see mine. I can see yours, easy. I can look at you and almost name your sins. But mine? That's how Simon is. Do you recognize, let me ask that another way, how do you recognize the seriousness of sin? How do you recognize the seriousness of sin before God? Verse 40. And Jesus answered. That's an interesting statement. And Jesus answered Simon's thoughts. Jesus answered Simon's words that he was saying to himself. How did he do that? Did he hear what he was saying? Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I want to tell you something." And Simon said, "Okay, go ahead." He said, "A certain moneylender," are you in the room listening? "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50, or he owed him 10 times more than the other one. When they were both unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both." Wow. He graciously forgave both of them. "You don't owe me anymore. Simon, which of them therefore will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." I suppose the one who owed 50 denarii that he graciously forgave would love him more than the one who just owed him five. Because he forgave him a whole lot more than he forgave the one that owed five. And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." Now watch the change. Verse 44. And turning toward the woman. And turning toward the woman who's behind him weeping, drying his feet with the hair of her head. Who, the woman who's putting perfume on his feet. He turns to her and says to Simon. He's not talking to her. He's talking to Simon. He turned to the woman and said, "Do you see this woman? Simon, look. You see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, which is only customary." They wore basically sandals. The dust was on their feet. And when they walked in, they'd take the sandals off, and the lowest servant in the house would wash their feet. Simon chose not to do that. Simon chose not to have his servant come and wash the feet of Jesus. "I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." Simon, "You gave me no kiss." Customary, a kiss on the cheek when you walk into the room. "You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." Verse 46. "You did not anoint my head with oil." Customary again. "You chose not to. But she anointed my feet with perfume." You see the picture? He comes into the church member Pharisee's house and he does nothing that's customary for him to do in their society. This woman of the city comes in, gets behind him, weeps because she's broken, washes his feet with her tears and dries them with her hair, kisses his feet, and then anoints them with perfume. Verse 47. "For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been," past tense, "forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." This story is not about the woman. This story is about Simon. This story is about the man who is tied up in his religious affiliations but knows nothing about forgiveness. There's another Pharisee that I would like for you to compare him with. And that's the Pharisee that held the clothes of those who stoned Stephen. That was Saul of Tarsus. And had this situation, had Saul been there when this situation occurred, he could have been, would have been just like Simon. But what's the difference in these two Pharisees, these two church members? The first one, Simon, never knew forgiveness. He did not comprehend or understand the cross. I know it's in front. Saul, on the other hand, came to the point where he saw the cross and the forgiveness that comes from the cross. And he never forgot it. What did Paul say? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus. God forbid that I get boastful about anything except the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus hung and died, and my sins were forgiven because of the cross. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you were under conviction from God? You know what conviction from God does to you? Everything else is blotted out. Everything else is blotted out. When you wind up seeing yourself as God sees you, and He deals with you in conviction to bring you to Christ, everything else becomes unimportant. The only thing that you think about, the only thing you can imagine going on, is what you are before God. Conviction. When you realize in His presence, I am a wicked, ungodly sinner demonstrated in this woman in this story. I remember in the early 90s when I lived right out here and used to walk on Zola Lane all the time. I was doing a study experiencing God by myself at that time, first time I'd ever seen it. And the Spirit of God started convicting heavy. Zola Lane's a half mile down, half mile back. I'd walk down and back. This wasn't a one-day deal. This was several days in a row. I walked down that road to the end, turned around and come back, weeping, bawling, crying, hoping nobody came by to see me. Everything else was blotted out. Conviction that was so strong, and a realization of who God was and who I am, that totally changed everything during that time. How long has it been since the conviction of God was on your life? It was not on Simon. How long has it been since you've known conviction? Because God's conviction produces repentance every time. Or either you turn away and ignore. When God brings conviction, the purpose is always to bring you to Christ. Here's what bothers me, just to touch. I'm old, and I know I'm old. I'm not as old as some of you, but I'm old. It seems to me, from an old point of view, that there used to be a lot more people under conviction. Conviction. I'm not just using a religious term. It seems to me that there used to be a lot more people under real conviction, which produced real repentance, which produced real salvation, than there is now. I might be wrong, but it seems to me like conviction just doesn't come as often. Now that bothers me in a couple of ways. The first way is, are we not open to God's conviction any longer? Are we satisfied with, you think Simon was open to him convicting him? No, there's no statement in this scripture that Simon ever turned to Christ. Even though the challenge is here in this passage of Scripture over and over, there's no deal that he ever accepted Christ. It bothers me in that area. Has our society just become so immune to God that we don't want anything to do with him and we push him away and conviction doesn't come? Second thing that concerns me about that is that God doesn't bring conviction near as much as he did because now he's bringing more judgment than conviction. This story is about Simon. And here's what bothers me about it. When I look at this passage of Scripture and then I go look in the mirror, I'm a whole lot more like Simon than I am this woman. How about you? Let's bow our heads. I don't know what you need today. But if you need to deal with him, this altar is always open. You can come and meet with him while Tom sings. Whatever you need to do with the Spirit of God, come, someone will be here to help. Sing, Tom.